We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If you want to turn there. You guys ever watch the A-Team? Okay, hopefully. Me and Brandon back in the day, if you remember him, he used to play guitar here. When he was leading the music and I was doing the message, we would call this the B-Team. So I apologize in advance for that. No offense, Chrissy. So a little background here on the message here. So about a month and a half ago, I was doing some Bible reading in the morning before we had a meeting at church. And I read something. I was like, man, that would be really cool to have, I think, as a message. And that morning at that meeting, Keith was like, hey, do you have a message you would want to do? And I was like, well, I just thought of something, or I just said something. So that must be kind of God telling me to do that. So I said, sure. However, if you guys were here the first week of July, Rick spoke. I opened the bulletin, found out that he took my idea. He talked about encouragement. Hopefully you guys listened to it. He not only talked about encouragement, he talked about Barnabas. It was the exact thing I was going to talk about. It was amazing. So I wasn't sure what to do, but I realized I have a feeling this probably was not a coincidence. So I decided I would just do the same thing. I would just do it better than Rick. So now, I'm just kidding. I know I can't do that. But I do think it's no coincidence that we both had the same idea. So what I plan to do is kind of go at the same thing, but maybe from a slightly different angle. The other thing is I heard from somebody in a Sunday school a few years back that what they would do when they would have their kind of Bible reading time each day is they would try and leave with some sort of an application. And what I thought was really interesting is they would say this, then they would go the next day and see if they actually like did that thing. And if they didn't, then that would just be their same application for the next day. And I think that's pretty wise, because I think sometimes we don't actually apply the things and then we move on. So I found myself several times to not be doing very good at being encouraging. So I need to practice again, and maybe you do too. So we're going to look again at similar thing, but a different angle. So you can read that. Yeah. So this is kind of the launching off point that Rick used. And this is from Acts chapter 4. And it said, thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So this word here, encouragement. Okay. Very interesting word. This is a word that you might have heard before. In the original language, it's called paraclete. If you listen to Christian rap, they use that word a lot for some reason. So so here's another verse. Here's the verse, some of the verses that we're going to look at. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And this said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the Lord of all comfort. So that word comfort, same word in that original language. And this is, when you look at a word in this original kind of Greek language of the New Testament, it's really cool because you can kind of follow it around. And there's a lot under the surface there that you can get out of just tracing a single word in the various ways that that God uses it in the Bible. So one more time, this is from John chapter 14, and this is Jesus talking kind of his last sermon with his apostles. And he said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So that word helper, that's the same word a third time. So whatever this is, I think it's important God seems to take it very importantly, so much so that here he says, when he is kind of revealing the fact to the apostles that he was going to send the Holy Spirit, he kind of gives them this nickname. He's like, well, you can just call him Paraclete. You can call him Helper. You can call him Encourager, Comforter, depending on your the version of the Bible you have, Advocate. So it's important, I think, to understand what it's talking about here. And again, it is used in several different English words. The kind of base meaning of this word is to come alongside someone. So these again are kind of interchangeable aspects or applications of the same word that God talks of himself. He says he is the God of this. So I want to talk about that. So let's pray real quick. Father, open your word up to us, Lord. Help us to hear from you, God. Not me. We come with eager hearts to know more of you and be more like you and to get more of a glimpse of who you are so that we can give those around us a glimpse of who you are through your power and your love and your work. Help us to do that today, Lord. Be with us. Speak to us clearly, Lord, and change us. Amen. Okay, so back to this 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So again, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. So there's that word. It says that he is the God of all comfort. Okay? And if I were to ask you guys to raise your hands, I'm sure that there's no one here that doesn't want comfort today. That is a good thing. We all agree that comfort is good. And we find here, we can kind of call this comfort source, that there is one and only one source of true comfort. God himself has a monopoly on that. If you want it, there is one place to go to get it, and again, in its true form. And he's the only one that supplies it. So what comes to mind when you think of comfort? I think of comfortable clothes. I think of comfort food. I think of when you have somebody that you know that's dying, you seek to make them more comfortable, right? There were a lot of comfort items that during this whole lockdown thing that got a lot more sold of them. So that leads me to picture that Jesus is up in heaven on a lazy boy chair, wearing a pair of comfortable, loose-fitting sweatpants, eating a pint of Haagen-Dazs ice cream, perhaps. But I think that this might mean something more than that. I was thinking about, sometimes people give titles to messages. I don't usually do that. I was thinking about calling this, Are There Sweatpants in Heaven? But I couldn't answer that word. I don't know. I don't think it means that when it's talking about this comfort that comes from God. I also don't think that when we are going through something hard, that Jesus kind of comes down and he just pats us on the back. He's like, there. I think it's more than that. So what does it mean? Again, this whole word, the concept is to come alongside of someone. And I think we see in the world that there are kind of true and false forms of comfort. So what I would say is a false form of comfort is to lie to someone, to not hurt their feelings, would be to stay silent or to agree with someone instead of kind of telling them a hard truth. I think to let someone wallow in their sins, that is not a true form of comfort. And a lot of those things that when we think of comfort, I think that those, as much as anything, might be to ignore our sins or to even indulge our sins. And I am confident and I praise God that that is not the form of comfort that he offers us. So it's something more than that, and it's something certainly better than that. I think when we think of this comfort, you can think of it as someone that carries a wounded soldier off of a battlefield. You can think of it as someone that you are running a race and you are totally gassed and out of energy, but there are people on the sidelines that are cheering you on and causing you to keep going even though you don't feel like you have much left. I think this comfort is helping someone up when they have fallen. I think that might be closer to this when we talk about this comfort that God supplies. The other thing to realize, again, this is also, it is shown in encouragement. It can also be shown through exhortation is another word, the way that this is turned into. So we also have to realize that this is not always positive words. They're not always words that just make you feel warm and fuzzy inside. So again, this Greek word in the New Testament is paraclete. The Old Testament version of comfort is a word called nahum. And if you are, have some time, read, there's a book by a guy named Nahum in the Bible, and it's not very comforting in the way that you would maybe want it to be. God is pronouncing judgment. There's a verse in there. He says, I will dig your grave because you are not worthy of life. So that is a hard truth that came from someone that is a form of comfort because it was, again, a truth that was pulling someone out. This, I think comfort sometimes is corrective, and it is to kind of pull someone out of a pit that they might find themselves in. So it's not always just letting people know everything is okay the way that it is. Sometimes it requires a little bit more than that, and that's hard, but it's necessary. So God, again, is the source of this comfort. So if you go to the next verse, it shows up a lot more. So it said, blessed be, again, verse 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted. Oh, I didn't even circle one of them. So it's a lot there. It's kind of an eye chart and it's kind of a tongue twister. So I'm going to slow down a little bit because that's a kind of a confusing verse to me at least. So let's do this first section here. Who comforts us in all of our affliction. So this is the comfort that we comfort received, we can call that. Okay, so God supplies this comfort all in all of our affliction. Again, that word all. He is the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all of our affliction. But we have to accept that. We have to receive that. And sometimes we, for various reasons, are hesitant or unwilling to take that comfort that God is ready and willing to supply to us. So I think that there are a couple ways that God supplies this comfort to us. And I would say that one is, you could call it kind of the comfort of assurance. And what I mean there is Jesus in his last kind of words to the apostles. This is John chapter 16, a verse that is pretty familiar. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation, right? And that word tribulation is the same word here, affliction. Okay. Same word again in the original language. And it means pressure. It means a pressing together. So when you think of it that way, we kind of get the idea of what we're talking about when we have affliction. And I'm sure some of us are going through that now. In this world, you will have tribulation. You will have affliction. But he says, take heart, for I have overcome the world, right? That is crucial that we understand, because the most important, the best source and the ultimate comfort is to know that God is in control, right? He has whatever it is under control, and ultimately that he is coming back. So no matter what challenges we find ourselves in, we know that God is, it's not out of his plan, and that in the end, God will comfort us. So that's one form of comfort, I think, that God supplies. The other one, I think, is you could call it, so there's the comfort of assurance and then the comfort of assistance. So on top of that, that God promises us that in the end, you will get through this. Things will be all right. He doesn't just leave it at that. He is there with us in the midst of that. He makes it okay while we're going through it. And again, this is that peace that surpasses understanding. It's hard to explain this, but he carries us through these things, right? He promises, I will never leave you or forsake you. Not only does he tell us it will be all right, he makes it all right because he is there with us. He is alongside us. And when we're talking about this form of comfort, it's truly being on someone's side. And God is on our side when we allow him to be and when we turn to him. So that's the first part there. The next part, we could call it kind of comfort given. So the second part of verse 4, and it says, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Okay, so a couple more times that same word pops up. We have to be willing to receive this comfort from God. And that's a challenge for some of us. That's a challenge for all of us sometimes. We also have to be willing to give this comfort to other people. Because that's what it's talking about here, is that he gives it to us, not only to comfort us, but so that we can be a part of providing this comfort to other people. And this is, like all kind of spiritual disciplines, it is something that in some cases requires exercise, right? A regular skill you need to practice, you need to exercise. Spiritual things are the same way. You need to practice them. You need to exercise them. Some people, I understand and agree, they are naturally good at this, or God gives them this. This comes easily to them, okay? Have you ever stepped on a grape? It's kind of like that. Some people, this just oozes from someone, okay? It doesn't take much, and it is flowing out of them. It is in an ample supply that they have the kind of the spiritual skill set built into them that they can provide comfort in the way that God wants us to. Others are not so much, and I would put myself certainly in this category. Have you ever stepped on a pineapple? It's not the same feeling. When you come in from a hard day of maybe working outside, you do not grab a pineapple and just bite into it. Say, man, so delicious and juicy. There's a little bit, it's more prickly, right? It takes a little bit more it's a little more under the surface. And some people are like that. Some people are more like coconuts, right? You need special tools to get into where this thing resides, okay? It's not just going to gush out instantly, okay? So my wife got mad at me while I was preparing the sermon about being non-comforting. So that was a pretty good blow to the ego. So I realized that this is not my thing. And really, please understand, like, when I do these things, I am solely interested in finding things that I stink at so that maybe I can get better and maybe somebody else is struggling with the same thing. So I am fully aware that this is not my my skill set, okay? So, like, when the kids go, maybe when our kids stub their toe, my wife will go and she'll comfort them. She will hold them for a few minutes. She'll sit with them. And I am more like, can you please cry in the other room? That would really help me right now. That would be great if you could do that for me. So we see this in the Bible, right? So Job, right? The guy that had it the worst, okay? He lost everything. He lost his family. He lost all of his possessions. And then he lost his health. And a group of friends come to him, right? And they tell him essentially, well, the reason that this happened is because you stink, Job. You're horrible. You're a wretched sinner. And this is your just comeuppance. People still use that word. And Job said, right, if you're familiar, he said, you miserable comforters you are, okay? So we have to be careful in how we do this, okay? And what I tend to want to do is, you know, in the Bible, it says in Romans, it says, all good things work for the good of those that love him. So to me, it's good enough to just, somebody struggling, it's like, listen, all things work for the good of those that love him. So get over it. And I think it takes a little bit more than that. I think. So be aware of that this is a practice. But it is part of our Great Commission, right, is to draw others to God. And we have to be aware, fully aware, moment by moment, that everything that we do when we interact with another person either pushes them farther from God or it draws them closer to God. And I guess my question to you and to me is, what are we doing? Because there is no shortage of examples of people in the world who have been hurting, and a follower of Christ provided them something less than this. And because of that, they were harmed in some way. So we have to be aware of that. And you have to consider, do people find comfort from you? Are people excited when they see you because they know that they will be lifted up by the time that they spent in your presence? Do they feel kind of the hand of God over their life through you? And again, I'm not talking about just saying everything's going to be all right. Whatever horrible thing you're doing is okay. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the comfort that comes from God. And it is truth and comfort combined. We have to realize that, and we have to know where we're at, and we have to, but again, you can't just say, well, I'm just not good at this. I'm not a natural at this, so I don't get to do it. That's not really how it works. Just because we don't naturally love others doesn't mean they're like, I don't have it. I don't got it. So sorry. So it takes practice, and for some of us more than others. So I'll be practicing this week. Maybe you will too. So the other thing that's cool about this is it brings kind of redemption and meaning to these afflictions that we go through. So what it talks about here, so if you look at this, it says that, again, this word, any. So God gets us through, he gives us comfort from all of our affliction, right? So that we can comfort people that are in any affliction. So when you have been brought low, there is a great power in someone else who has been brought low and who God has brought back up, in someone like that coming alongside of you. And we so desperately need to offer that to others. And many of us desperately need that ourselves right now. What's cool about this also is that it's not that you have to have had the exact same type of affliction, because it says God gets us through all afflictions so that we may help people who are going through any affliction. So because we have been brought low, no matter what that looked like to us, we can be alongside someone else who has been brought low, and we don't have to have gone through the same thing. So in the world, we see this a lot, right? Okay, well, you're not a woman, so you can't have an opinion about this sort of thing. You're not this or that, so you can't help me. Nobody knows how I feel, right? And I understand that people might not know how you feel specifically, but what's important for us to realize is just because we know someone who is stuck in drugs or whatever it might be, it doesn't mean that we had to have gone through the exact same thing to be able to help them in those things. The fact is that we have been brought low in affliction. We have seen the depths. And God has brought us out. God was there in those depths, right? And he has brought us out of those depths. And so now we are called to help other people through that and to come alongside those people and to bring them comfort that that God is available. And that is, again, essential that we do that. It does certainly help when someone has gone through the exact same thing as you. But it's also not a requirement that we do that, because most of us have, again, Jesus said, in this world, you will face these afflictions, right? So most of us have gone through these. And if not, start preparing yourself now for them, because he said it will happen. The last verse here, verse 5 of the same chapter, for as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ, we share abundantly in comfort too. Same word again, and we could call this kind of comfort increased. So God tells us that our light and momentary troubles, and that is what these things are, our light and momentary troubles achieve for us an eternal reward and consequence and glory that is brought about that. So in this life, we have to realize that, what we experience in this world, it is only the first page of the first chapter of this book of eternity that is a never-ending story of the soul that God seeks to bring into heaven. So we have to realize that, and we have to be aware of the fact that even if we don't see it now, even if we don't see it, even if we didn't see it when we went through this, even if we don't see it when these things happen, that if these troubles that we see, if they draw us closer to God, and they also give us the opportunity to draw others closer to God, that really, eternally speaking, that is a net positive thing, right? And there are plenty of people here that have gone through these afflictions and would tell you, I'm glad that it happened, because in that, I found God, whether it's for the first time or in a deeper way that I did not know before, that I did not think possible, but through going through these trials and seeing that He is the God of all comfort. I get that does not make you necessarily look forward to these things, but eternally speaking, there is a positive impact to these afflictions going on in our lives, because then we get to see more of who God is. And we find ourselves more like Christ, who certainly suffered and was afflicted more than any of us have any sob story that can compete with. So we have to realize that too. So I guess in closing, I would say, I would challenge each of us to look to find an opportunity this week or today or before you leave today to provide this comfort to someone, to come alongside someone, to speak maybe a hard truth to someone. Maybe you have to leave during the song and make a phone call to somebody. I don't know, but you probably know, and God definitely knows. And seek to come along people that are in those pressures, that are in those hardships. And certainly if you find yourselves in these hardships, and I know that there's a lot of that, just run to God, right? Come to God, because He is the God of all comfort. He's not going to run out before you get to Him. But there's no sense in waiting either. So realize that this comfort is not something that we can give to other people if we have not received it from God ourselves. So of course the altar is open as always. And my prayer is that you will be obedient to God in these things and just realize that He is good. And He does provide the solution to all of our problems. And on top of that, He allows those problems to turn into something good, and we can praise Him for that. So I'm going to pray. Father, we know that You have overheard, God, in spite of our weaknesses, our distractions, our lack of skill in these things, Lord. But we thank You for the fact that You come alongside us, God. You do pull us up, Lord. You never push us away, God. You supply comfort in an infinite amount. You are the God of all of it, the only place where we can find it, God. So those of us here that need that comfort, and I'm sure that is all of us in one way or another, show it to us today, God, and help us to open our arms to it, Lord. Help us to seek You in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our afflictions, Lord. We know that they are heavy, Lord, but You tell us that You carry our burdens, Lord. All we have to do is give them to You. Also, open our eyes and our hearts in an eternal way to see those around us that are going through these trials and afflictions and struggles around us, Lord, so that we can come alongside them, Lord, and show them that with God, all things are possible. That they can get through this through Him, Lord, whether that is helping them when they're in need, whether that is telling them a hard truth, Lord, whether that is letting them know that the circumstances that they find themselves in are part of this path to destruction that You tell us about, Lord. That is what we must do, Lord, because we know the truth. We have the cure to all of life's problems, Lord, and it is found in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Help us to realize that. Help us to see what opportunities we have there, Lord, and help us to be obedient in them, Lord. We bless your name, Lord, and draw each of us closer to you, Lord. And if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, God, I pray that today they would find the ultimate source of comfort in you today, Lord, and salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.